I thought we might pay a visit to Bethlehem today, Tom announces at lunch. Why? I say. You've been in your bedclothes for days. It would do you good to get out. And I thought it might change Miss Hawkins's status if you were to visit.
Nothing will change her status. A part of her is trapped in the realms forever.
Please?
Tom asks.
In the end, I relent and go with Tom. We've another new driver, Jackson having disappeared. I cannot say that I am surprised by this.
Grandmama says that Anne Bradshaw is not any relation to the Duke of Chesterfield,
Tom says, once we are en route.
She also says that Miss Bradshaw fainted when told of these accusations.
When I neither confirm nor deny this, he continues,
I don't see how it could be true. Miss Bradshaw is such a kind person. She's not the sort who would mislead someone. The very fact that she fainted proves that her character is too good to even entertain such an idea.
People aren't always what you want them to be, I mumble.
Beg your pardon?
Tom says. Nothing, I say.
Come awake, Tom. Fathers can willfully hurt their children. They can be addicts too weak to give up their vices, no matter the pain it causes. Mothers can turn you invisible with neglect. They can erase you with a denial, a refusal to see. Friends can deceive you. People lie. It is a cold, hard world. I do not blame Nell Hawkins for retreating from it into a madness of her own choosing. The halls of Bethlehem seem almost calming to me now. Mrs. Summers sits at the piano, plunking out a tune filled with wrong notes. A sewing circle has been set up in a corner. The women work their pieces intently, as if they are sewing their salvation with each careful stitch. I'm taken to Nell's room. She's stretched out upon her bed, her eyes open but not seeing.
Hello, Nell, I say. The room is quiet.
Perhaps if you left us, I say to Tom.
What? Oh, right.
Tom leaves. I take Nell's hands in mine. They are so very small and cold.
I am sorry, Nell, I say, the apology coming out like a sob. I am sorry.
Nell's hands suddenly grip mine. She is fighting against something with every bit of strength she has left. We are joined, and in my head I can hear her speaking.
She cannot bind it, comes her whisper. There is still hope.
Her muscles relax. Her hands slip from mine.
Gemma?
Tom asks as I bolt from Nell's room and head straight for the carriage.
Gemma? Gemma, where are you going?
It is 5:15 when I secure a cab. With luck, I shall make it to Victoria Station before Felicity and Anne can board the 5:45 train to Spence. But luck is not on my side. The streets are congested with people and vehicles of all sorts. It is the wrong time of day for hurrying. Big Ben chimes the half hour. I poke my head out the side of the cab. Stretched ahead of us is a sea of horses, wagons, cabs, carriages, and omnibuses. We're perhaps a quarter mile from the station and hopelessly stuck. I call out to the driver.
If you please, I should like to get out here.
Darting between snorting horses, I step quickly across the street to the sidewalk. The walk to Victoria is short, but I find I am weak from my days in bed. By the time I reach the station, I have to lean against the wall to keep from fainting. 5:40. There is no time to rest. The platform is awash in people. I shall never find them in this chaos. I spy an empty newspaper crate and stand upon it, searching the crowd, not caring about the scowls I receive from passers-by who find my outrageous behaviour insulting to ladies everywhere. At last I spy them. They're standing on the platform with Franny. The Worthingtons haven't even bothered to come see their daughter off with a kiss and a tear or two.
Anne! Felicity!
I shout. More black marks against my character. I hobble over to them.
Gemma, what are you doing here? I thought you weren't to leave for Spence for days,
Felicity says. She's wearing a smart travelling suit in a flattering mauve.
The magic isn't hers, I explain breathlessly. She hasn't been able to bind it.
How do you know? Felicity asks.
Nell told me. She must not have enough power on her own. She needs me to do it. What should we do? Anne asks. A whistle blows. The train to Spence sits on the track in a haze of smoke. It is ready. The conductor stands on the platform calling passengers to board. We're going in after them, I say. I see Jackson and Falson have arrived. They see us, too. They're coming straight toward us. We've company, I say. Felicity spies the men. Them? Rakshana, I say. They'll try to stop us, control it all. Then let's give them the slip, Felicity says, boarding the train.